Clubhouse.
This is the true story. True story of two sassy friends picked to co-host a podcast
and have their thoughts recorded
to find out what happens.
What?
When people stop being polite.
Did you silence your phone?
And start getting real. The Real World Podcast. This is Caroline.
Hey, it's Aisha.
I am so excited, Aisha. We're back to talk about episode 2 of the Real World Homecoming New York City edition, which they bothered to throw in this time, which makes me wonder if there's going to be San Francisco and all the rest. What do you think?
I think there might be. I think that Julie was casting some shade on that, though, in the confessional.
I definitely think that she's like, casting some shade on that,
she's
man.
She's like, New York's the only city to do this in, and I don't know about the rest of y'all. Fuck that. Fuck all of you guys.
I appreciated when they called it the eighth roommate. I was like, New York City does have a vibe unto its own,
yes,
you know?
Yes, it does.
And especially for old Julie. I mean, I like that they pulled back the curtain and revealed that Julie was most likely the very first cast. And then they filled out everybody else.
Well, they were all like, well, who do you think? You know? Yeah. And they were like,
Julie's like, I was.
Julie's like, I know. It was me. We all know that. I mean,
now we do. I didn't know jack shit. I tell you, this whole time I was like, oh, this is just like a whole conglomeration of people. It was not. It was Julie and then everybody else who was, as she puts it, super up and comers. Like, I didn't appreciate how much they were up and comers.
They didn't even look at themselves like that, which is hilarious. They thought, what was I giving, you know? Well, maybe Kevin. You know, Kevin was a writer and he knew what he knew his potential. Becky had no idea what the fuck she was doing.
We're going to get into Becky. In fact, we're going to get into everybody.
Yeah, we'll get into everybody.
Because, boy, do I want to talk about everybody. This is like hot goss edition because I just want to like fill some tea and talk shit because I've got opinions on what people were doing. Yeah, I feel like sometimes we're just coming on here and we might just give, you know, we're just reporting the facts, folks. This is what happened in the episode.
Oh, no, no.
This time,
we're spilling some tea tonight.
I am feeling like, did you see how she did this?
Oh,
or did
no,
you?
I did
not even shut up. And that means when I talked to her, she was like, Exactly. Yeah. So let's hop into Eric because we have this COVID storyline that we're having to deal with, just like real life. Can't get away from it, seeping into everywhere.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Did you appreciate that we went back and we had to actually witness his second test?
As he went deeper. Hit.
Oh,
I love
God.
Heather. Hit him, daddy.
That was so
I was laughing so hard.
Good.
I know. Well, I mean, you know, you got to get that swab up there.
Do you think
really.
They're just trying to be like good examples for the world or something and being like now?
How many times do you have to test after you've already tested the first time?
It seems to me that they're trying to test him every day. I think.
For what?
I think they're trying to wait to like hope he gets a negative so that he could come in. To the house. Like, I think that they're hoping against hope somehow maybe on day 3 or 4 or 5.
It'll be negative. Yeah.
I mean, and
you
I don't know.
The ghost people.
Well, I just don't know how I would feel about that. Like, would you want him to come if he was like...
No.
30
I'd be like, we good. Just stay your ass right outside. I mean,
oh my God.
No. Like, just 30 seconds ago,
you
had
positive,
it,
right?
And then now you're negative. I don't know if I believe that,
exactly.
Considering they keep testing. So, anyway, at this point, I think, maybe it's just for television.
Yeah. And not to forget that character, I guess, basically, in the
right,
in
and
the
what he's going through, and, you
part.
Know, and he's not just being lazy sitting in a hotel room. So,
I still love his little like cubby wubby womb room getup that he wears, like his little cardigan.
I know you love that cardigan. Every time I see it, it's like
I have to do my Alexis Rose hands every time. Like,
this is only what, day 2, right?
Yeah, supposedly.
I mean, so I'm like, is he still wearing the sweater? But it's only been like a day, so he can wear it. And he's sick. I mean, honestly, he's the best looking. Sick man that I've ever seen. Like,
good call.
I mean,
and like, not a lot of whining. In fact,
when
quite
I'm
the
sick,
opposite.
Do you think that I would look that, I would have a camera on me and let the world see. Hail to the no.
Neither of us are miking up during feeling shitty part of our days.
So he looks pretty darn good for COVID positive.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I appreciated that they tried to have these little moments just to try to include him, where like Heather and Julie and different people would be like, he was a joy. And they tried to show little clips of him with the little Dr. Seuss hat on and stuff.
They're just so cute. I mean, I think that he just had such a, you know, a great relationship with Julie and Heather and everybody. I think he was just, maybe I've got that nostalgia of what it was before, but he just seemed like he was a fun guy, and he's just always been that one that you just can smile and talk to, you know? Maybe he's always been like that.
It was interesting to me how much it seemed like he actually had a pretty tortured past in some way, a bad childhood and stuff like that. Like, that never came across in the original show, in my opinion.
No.
You know, or that he was struggling with alcohol, or that he was, they kind of talked a lot about, you know, should he go back after the show was over, and, you know, or should he stay in the city and kind of fight it out? And I appreciated that Heather in the original was all like, I think you should stay. I don't think you should go back to the comfortable nest of your fam and everything. I think you should stay out here where it's hard, you know, get your grit going and come on already.
Right.
I don't know if that was for Eric, you know. I mean, he continued on. We saw him, you know, he's doing the grind, he's doing all that. But ultimately, I mean.
But you know the story. It's, you know, it's old. It's the same story you hear. When you get money when you're young, it all fucking goes downhill. I mean, it's like, it's a recipe for disaster. When you're a child actor, you're a child model, you're a child whatever, and you just come into that early money, and it's like the city eats you up and spits you out, whether it's Los Angeles, New York, whatever, Chicago, whatever big city it is.
And he just had like a that tough whole guy, like, but not. Right?
I know, like
maybe there's no tough guys, Aisha. Maybe they are. What is a tough guy? Maybe they all have a sensitive side. That, yeah, good call. I mean, he wasn't. I guess I want to say he wasn't as hardened as I thought he was. Like I thought
you
he had like
that
a
man
city
and say
boy.
He was not hardened.
Yeah, good call.
You know,
now as adults. I feel like I can look back and be like, oh, honey, you need some mom.
come here. Lay on my bosom, Eric.
I knew bosom was coming. My bosom. Oh, my God.
Lay right here.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, so then that was our Kevin time. Let's move over to Norman, because you know what I was not expecting to see? Norman Doopy. That was so unexpected and so adult man Doopy that I was like.
It's normal. It's just normal.
It is just normal, but, you know, in my head, they're all, like, still young and whatever. And so when they showed that butt, I was like, that butt's like a super dad butt, you know? I was like, that is an adult man lived in butt.
It just tells you, like, how much you just don't care after you get to be a certain age with nudity. Like, I'd just be like, and here's my body. Yeah, so
enjoy.
Check it out.
Oh my gosh, we were just covering Psycho and we were talking about how, you know, the peephole and everything. Uh-huh. And my co-host on that one, Steph, goes, well, I know there's peepholes in like dressing rooms. What am I going to do? Not buy jeans? Enjoy my nitties. Like, this is what, like, I mean, enjoy. Okay. Enjoy because them. Apparently, you know, if you get off on looking at people and this is like your jam, then, what am I going to do? How am I going to stop you? I can't not buy jeans, people.
You're right. Yeah.
Okay? That's not an option. God. So funny. Norman's revenge shit. Aisha Marie.
Okay, this just makes me think of you because I'm so sad. So sorry to bring this up. But like, you know, when you're traveling and you really can't go.
Oh, yeah.
She has a problem, guys.
But here's the thing. I'm the person who like goes to the lobby or like tries to find a time when like no one's around. I'm like, are all of you guys going to lunch? I forgot something in the room. Like,
just be constipated for a week. It's all good. All good. Norman.
I don't like to go around everyone else like that. So I feel like very sensitive about it.
It is not fair. It is not fair that Norman was not allowed to use the master suite.
The revenge shit. Heard around the world, I think, was an amazing
concept.
But we
didn't see any fallout from that, literally.
Maybe next week we'll get some action on that.
I
want to
know
shit.
If he actually did it or if he was just talking
Me
shit.
Too. I'm very excited about that. And did you note he brought up his Sicilian background?
Uh-huh. He's like, don't let me get Sicilian on your ass.
You know that's got to be from him reading the Wikipedia or something, because that is just cracking me up that he bothered to say that.
It's because we said it last week, obviously. Norman, no, I'm just
listen.
Kidding.
Yes.
He totally did. But we were saying that we never even knew he was Sicilian until we read that Wikipedia article.
I just remembered that one time when he was like, my hot Sicilian blood.
So it's a thing for him.
I guess it is. I mean, and maybe if it's not, it's a callback anyway.
You need to start saying, like, when your Lithuanian blood gets boiling, you just needs to be a thing.
Here's the thing. My Lithuanian blood doesn't boil. Lithuanians are very hospitable and whatnot.
Oh, it just simmers.
So maybe I would, like, bring you a gift basket and be like, here's my hot Lithuanian blood. My little hospitality's coming at you. Because, Lithuanians
aren't
known for yelling and having a temper. So, yeah, when I do something sweet, be like, that's your Lithuanian blood.
Okay, so it's the opposite. Gotcha. Yeah,
awesome. Exactly. Hey, I have to comment, that gift basket was lovely.
It was lovely, and it made me think of you because of your Lithuanian blood. But no, I was thinking to myself, as Eric gets his basket, he's like, oh, thank you guys. There's oranges.
I know. And then they're like, think nothing of it. We've got plenty of fruit. Like, as if they just picked up things off the kitchen counter and put it into the basket.
As if like they went to go shop for these items.
It's very true, but I was just cracking up because a little bit, that's me too. Because I totally, that is a little part of Caroline.
That's you, because you would gather things around.
I would shop around my house and be like, I thought you would enjoy this puzzle. It's taped closed because I've opened it one time. But it's perfectly good puzzle. You've never done the mac and cheese puzzle. So it will be a shock for you.
It would work. It was super cute. And I was like, man, that is so you.
I loved it so much. Okay, let's hop on over to Heather because we got a little bit more of like what happened to her now in all this history. What'd you think of Heather?
Well, actually, I was gonna bring it up in the first podcast, but I held back and I'm glad I didn't because we found out on this episode of all her endeavors. So I listened to her show on Sirius XM,
nice.
One of her radio shows. So I knew it was her for all these years that I'd been listening to it. You know, I didn't know she had two other shows.
Yeah. Which show are you enjoying? Are you enjoying Sway? Or are you enjoying
Sway? Oh. It was the Sway one.
Nice.
Yeah. So I would... Every so often, I'm not going to say listen to it every day or anything
okay.
like that, but I've
podcasts
caught it.
Podcasts can be a drop-in. That's all right, y'all.
True, right. Same voice, same energy, everything. She just sounds like she's having a blast when she is on the radio. Yeah, the fact that she's just been hustling.
I can't believe she has like a merchandise line. I got to say, she reminds me of you. Because
really?
Yes, because of that hustle. That part where it's like, every time I call you, you're like, I'm on my 17th fitness class I'm teaching this week. Or, you know, whatever. Like, I mean, if you like wanted to stretch it, you could have a merchandise line. You know,
true.
You could. And
yeah.
I know you have people who would buy. Like, I know them, which means there's probably people out there I don't even know who would buy it. Don't you think? Come
That's
on.
It. We're starting a line.
I want like,
starting
a like an AM merchandise
yeah.
line. Like, come on.
AM fitness. Yeah.
AM
we're gonna do it.
Fitness. Do this, Aish. Okay. You can do this.
All
Plus,
right.
you can finally make like workout pants that fit great.
Yes.
Give you like the perfect ass, but then like good for working out as well. Because man, what I found with those perfect ass leggings, I got to be honest with you.
What?
When you go to do a squat, everybody's seeing everything.
Wow. You mean the TikTok leggings or the Amazon leggings?
All the leggings. I do my squats,
see your
man,
business.
And I've got a lovely round ham ass. Okay. Two hams.
Two hams.
But let me just tell you, they are like... It is like on display
You're
when I wear those.
You're supposed to see it. That's why. You work hard for those hams.
As Steph said in the peephole selection, enjoy. What am I
hams.
Not going to do my squats?
No, you're
I
not.
I got to do my squats, so enjoy, people.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. So Heather also is married.
They covered that very, very, very briefly. So I was like, oh, I didn't know she was married. It just seemed like, you know, Julie was married.
Right.
Is that it?
Well,
because I'm unclear
else, we're a little, I mean,
what our relationship status is with everybody.
I agree with you 1,000%. And maybe that's meant to be vague right now.
Right.
And they're going to like, you know, they'll have like a family time, you know, where they actually bring them in at the end or
I can't
something
see
like
her
that.
Having kids.
No, you don't think so?
I'm going to bet they don't have kids.
Okay.
But I don't know why. I just think that.
You know, Heather, of everybody, if you do have a merchandise line and you are hosting on all this stuff, you might want to actually protect your brand and protect your personal life. Where, like, if your brand is, like, to be, like, out there and whatever, then a lot of people don't like to think you of as a mom.
Right.
You know, yeah. Like those don't gel for people.
They don't jive, yeah.
It's not aspic, as they would say on Psycho. That's what the private detective says. It's not gelling. It's not aspic.
It's not aspic. Okay.
Which I think is like Jello. I don't actually know.
I have no idea what that is.
I didn't bother looking it up. Okay. I just made that joke without knowing.
That, is that food I've never
it
eaten before?
It might be lube. And I'm just like, I'm just over here saying it. Like he might have said, that's not gelling. That's not aspic, meaning like anal lube or something. And then here I am saying it out loud. Like I'm assuming it's a wholesome dessert. Which is very unlike me. I would normally think it's anal
things.
Lube.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that is.
Go figure. Julie had almost nothing going on this week. She was really just like a parrot on people's shoulder.
Well, she did lead them to the color factory. So that was something.
That was something.
That was such a bold move.
I know. She's like, let's have a fail trip.
She's like, I was going to take my family here, but it would be even better to take you guys. Like, I was like, wow, we are Julie.
Oh, that's super funny. Okay, my favorite Julie scene, though, has got to be in the confessional.
Oh, my God, yes. Yes. When Julie starts to drink.
She's my favorite version of Julie.
When Heather starts to pour the drinks, Julie is all about it. So this is where it's me and you again. Because when I start to pour the drinks, you will drink them.
And I will start swearing. And not that I don't swear. Obviously, y'all, you heard me just with my anal lube talk. Like, I'm over here. I'm willing to be bawdy. I'm not acting like I'm not. But at the same time, I got to tell you that the amount of fuck that she was dropping in that confessional.
Fucks.
Oh, my God. It was cracking me up. Andre's face, the first couple times she said it. Oh, my God. You know he was, like, hoping his four-year-olds can watch this. And, like, it's over now. Like, she sullied it.
I'm just glad that they just let loose. You know, I mean, this is what it was about, right? Be real. Be real. Don't be fake. Don't bring what you think the audience wants to see, what image you think you have. Just be yourself. And I think that's what I enjoyed about that scene, because it was like a little bit of like a little intoxication, a little bit realness just came on out. And it was like, this is what they've got. This is the friendship that we can really see.
I love
over
it.
The years. You
I
know?
Love what was going on. I have to tell you this. Like, so all the time on these podcasts, you know, I allow my genuine self to come out, like whatever part of that is.
You do.
I was just guesting on a podcast that is a little bit more scripted and a little bit more like they bring their facts and they talk pretty straightforward. It's called You're Missing Out. It's a wonderful show. They follow the movies from the National Film Registry, like ones that actually like, you know, have been like inducted.
Oh.
And so I was on Wizard of Oz, right? And here's the thing. I'm like in there, but I'm me. So they are wonderful hosts, but they are, you know, pretty serious guys. And they want to, like, give the information. Literally, at one point, they bring up a fact, and I go, I know that one! Like, I'm a three-year-old. And it's just, and he was so surprised. Like, the other host was like, what? Like, okay, go ahead. But just because, like, if you had a comment, Caroline, just be like, I also know that that
you're like, fact. I don't know how to podcast like
but
this.
Instead, I was just like, me no! Over here, like,
let me talk.
Oh, I'm like a little baby.
Yes.
So I appreciate them having me over there and letting me guest. And that episode actually went out today. So head on over to You're Missing Out, and you can hear Wizard of Oz, and you can hear Caroline acting like I literally feel like I'm a bouncing ping pong ball, and
they're trying to corral you.
Yes, yes. And they are like seated nicely at their areas talking, and I'm over there like beep bop boobity beep bop. And like acting like just being silly, y'all.
That's all right. You know what? And that's okay too.
Yeah, because it's important to be yourself. But you know who? Well, first of all, somebody who doesn't show us himself that much on this one.
Who do you think?
I think Andre. Like as much as he promised us.
Well, I think we haven't gotten deep into Andre yet. Maybe we're going to get that in the next episode or something future, hopefully.
I hope so. Soon. But you know, in the original, he laid pretty low.
He was also quiet, right?
Right.
Maybe that's just Andre's thing.
You think it is?
Maybe we're trying to dig deeper than he is.
I don't want that to be the truth. I mean, I want there to be more to it.
I think there's more to him. I think he... Well, it is interesting that he's an atheist.
Yes.
Not just because he's an atheist. I mean, everybody has their choices.
Right.
And that doesn't bother me. It's just that that was the only thing we learned about him, really, on this one. And that he was, like, very skeptical about Becky's... He was very skeptical about Becky's conjuring of John Lennon.
Oh, wow.
Which I was, too. I was like, my eyebrows were like, what? And I loved how Julie was like, tell me more.
Again, who does this sound like? Someone you know?
Vaguely. Because I was like, what?
We might have someone in our life who may have more out there beliefs. And I am commonly the person to go like, tell me more.
And I'm like,
please stop letting her talk. And I'm over here like,
the fuck is what I say.
I'm trying to understand where you're coming from, man. Like, I just want to hear your
Caroline's voice. Like, I just need to. Yes. Yes.
Maybe tell me. Saturn is up to you something.
You are right.
And I allow it to play out because part of it is that I want to hear. And part of it is that, you know, it's that Lithuanian blood. I just am trying to give everybody their time.
I cannot. So I think I was with Andre in that. Like, ain't nobody talking to John Lennon.
Oh, my God.
For 10 years, she said. He left in 2002. So that means 10 years she had an apparition come to her.
I don't even know what to say. First of all, I know that you are not in love with the concept of like Ouija boards and...
I am Heather.
The supernatural, right?
Yeah, that sage.
Yes. I mean,
she's like, I believe in Jesus, and I'm going to just. She's like, God, I'm here with the sage. I know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I love it so much. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I really want your take on this because let's delve into Becky because she, first of all, she was probably the person we talked to most in this entire thing. She's certainly the one that talked the most.
Definitely. She's a very complex person. Now that I'm really gathering that from this episode and. I love the part about her talking about her dad, the relationship they had, the fact that she traveled all around the world. She was here, there, everywhere. I like that she's more fulfilled. Okay. She says that she's more fulfilled now, living her life in New Mexico, doing this energy healing new form of medicine. I'm not sure if she uses music therapy as part of this or how she does this or if it's she's completely out of the music industry now.
I'm going to say something snide and what? Say that when she started singing there...
you didn't like it?
I didn't get the impression she had sung in some time.
Gotcha.
Like, I wrote down... first, I wrote down something snotty, which I won't say. And then I wrote, seems very out of practice. As my nice comment. Because her voice... wasn't there the way, you know how like sometimes voices can sing and they just sound very like hollow. And when she sang, it just sounded like that instead of like sounding like she was like singing it. Like really she sounded it. In 92 when she sang, there was a little bit more to it.
Right.
This was not.
So we're assuming that she's probably not in music anymore.
She never really went there. I mean, she talked a lot about, you know, learning under her dad. I thought it was fascinating that Norman came and visited.
Yeah, it seems like her and Norman have had a friendship and relationship for all these years where they've just been in each other's lives.
Norman seems like he was a little life raft for a couple of them because Julie also went and lived with Norman for a while.
Yeah, you're right.
And so like they did like a whole thing. And so I feel
Norman, I love Norman. I know.
He's a sweetheart. Yeah. I really feel like he wanted everyone to succeed and he was willing to put his hand out.
I like that.
Me very much. So Becky and this whole John Lennon thing.
Mm. So do you believe that... Let me put it this way.
Yes.
Let's ask this question because I know my answer.
Okay.
Do you believe that people can come to you?
Okay. Well, so you know that I believe in intuition very much. I have pretty good bones about things.
Yes, you do. And I believe them. I do believe
yours. Because you've seen action, right? You've seen me say something and then, and even tell you.
Over and over and over and over again. Yeah. So not just one time. So yes, I do.
So I do believe in that. When it comes to... this is going to sound weird. So I also have a really strong feeling for places, okay? So it's not necessarily just like something that's going to happen next, but like my grandfather passed in the house. Actually, multiple people passed in multiple grandparents' houses. And when I was in certain rooms, I definitely felt
presence.
Stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, did they talk to me? Right. No.
Did you have full conversations?
No, not at all. But, and certainly it could just be that, like, I knew it, you know, as a kid. And so I had, like, a kind of a hinky feeling.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, death is scary, especially when you're a kid. But, I mean, so much to the point where, like everyone knew I've had these feelings, to the point where my mom said, if these people are coming to you, they were all nice people.
Aww.
And they would only say nice things to you. This is how my poor mother emphatic though that I was, that like people are here. I can hear and see them,
you know. Shut up.
And mom would be like, if they're here, then
they're going to help you do the dishes.
Only, right. They would only say sweet things to you. So at least she actually didn't really like try to dissuade me that I heard them or saw them. She just tried to say that they would only be positive comments if they were talking to me. Is it? I don't know. I don't know how she should have handled it.
You had a mom like mine. Yes.
She just slapped you around a little. My mom would be like,
you said what? Shut up and go sit down somewhere. That would be her response. Not that... They would only bring you positive comments. She'd be like, go get the Bible.
See, and I'd been like, a lot of people died in the Bible, too. I'm kind of scared of the Bible.
You're like, no. Yeah, I mean, I get like, and I don't ever want to, you know, I'm sure people are listening to this, and we could compile hundreds, thousands of people's accounts of how they have had the same type of situation in their life, or they felt somebody else was with them, especially somebody that they knew, or it was a family member or something, some person in their life. Now, what
these is were always
very,
family members. I should point
family
that out.
Members.
This was never a celebrity.
This is not like, right. Like I just, that was why it was a little extreme to me because it was like a beetle. Like
a beetle.
Like, oh, okay. I mean, you really went big. I mean, you didn't just, you didn't just go like, you know, maybe a middle of the road celebrity. I mean, you went with like one of the biggest names of our time.
And you hung on to it for 10 years.
10 years.
That's commitment.
He stayed with you
for 10
years.
Commit to the bit, I say, you know, she was with it. I don't know. I mean, obviously there's more going on with Becky. I was disappointed in the part where I thought, and this is, you know what? Here, I'm going to show a little ignorance on purpose here. I always kind of had the feeling that if you bothered to spend the time being introspective, going to someplace like New Mexico, trying to have sort of like, let's say in this particular case, this is like an energy healing kind of thing. I also accidentally believed that maybe you found a more sincere or authentic belief system.
Yeah.
And or had a better sense of how to communicate yourself to others.
Maybe this is her better way.
Oh. Do you see where I'm going with this, though?
I do see where you're going with this, because
she dedicated all this time to this growth.
I think she did grow somewhat.
Okay. Because we're going to get into everything with Kevin and Becky.
Let's do that.
I want to give Kevin his full time, though, before we get into their talk. I guess she's just still a work in progress.
She's a work, for sure. I think that is. But the funny thing is I think this is her growth. Which is a little like,
I kind of liked her better in 92 because she because
she was at least like immature and like,
and innocent and hadn't done the work. Yeah. If this is with the work.
Yeah.
I'm a little less impressed with any of this, you know, because she was had a lot of the same opinions all these years later that I kind of felt like, shit, dog. I mean, I guess, again, it's flawed thinking, but I thought if someone thought and meditated and put aside all this time, somehow you would achieve a higher sophisticated way of thinking.
It's not like she went into accounting for like the last 29 years.
Yeah, or just pushed this all aside.
Right. It was like you did introspective work.
And this is the outcome. Like, I want to feel like Mama Oprah would be like,
this is what I know. And what I know, you don't know nothing.
I love that very much.
You know what I mean?
Let's give Kevin his time because he deserves it. He absolutely did a ton of stuff in the years that we hadn't seen him. What were you most impressed by? What struck you?
What was most impressive to me is the fact that he's written 14 books.
I agree.
And run for Congress twice.
Yes. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that he was on, you know, that he lectured constantly, and he was already doing that, I think, as a young man in his 20s, lecturing and writing. But 14 books? Wow.
Really?
I mean, what a scholar.
Does it make you want to read one of his books?
Yeah, it does. I was actually online to see the list of his books because I'm interested to see what he's been doing, you know?
Absolutely. And I mean, now you reminded me because I was very fixated on the books and the Congress section, but the Tupac section.
Yeah.
Wow. What?
Just chilling with Tupac and Biggie. I mean, just like, I didn't, before Tupac was Tupac.
Right.
But you know what? The thing is that Kevin was the one who wrote about him in Vibe magazine. That was, those articles, I remember those covers.
Really?
I don't know if you remember them, but I remember those covers of those magazines.
Only maybe, from like a pop culture standpoint. Like
maybe I've that's seen, why I remember them.
Because you know how it is. Like when someone passes, they have limited amount of media to put out. And true. So I've seen the Tupac stuff over and over, but not from the standpoint, like I made no connection with Kevin.
No, not at all.
Kevin from the real world.
No. And they said that, and for him to say that Tupac was a fan of his because of the show.
I know.
You know, and that was very, very interesting because I just thought, wow, it's crazy. Like all this time that's passed by.
Yeah.
You know, we have this artist that came into the world, rose, and then was killed. It just made me like realize how much time had really passed by for him to have this relationship as a friend with him and you know.
Yeah.
In his world is very, very striking. I had no clue.
I had no idea. I mean, no connection to here. And I really felt like he was one of the people, although all of them mentioned this, where the real world was really probably, I mean, I'm leaning on the side of like, so this is weird. Maybe he's the most 50-50 in terms of like, yes, it helped in terms of like, obviously, he wouldn't have met some of these people like Dave Chappelle and Tupac and stuff had he not been seen, right? But at the same time, like when Julie was talking about, I can't be a background dancer in an ad now because I'm Julie from Real World.
Right.
So she couldn't really like get her career going. Like that's complicated, right? Or Becky saying she's bartending and people being like, but you're Becky from the Real World. And she's like, yeah, but...
Well, I mean,
you know,
it works for some and it don't for the others.
I guess so. I mean... Again, Kevin is somebody who I thought, again, did the work for the last 30 years. Like, not
only... He never quit doing the work.
He never... But what I mean to say by that... yes. What I meant to say by that is he continued to look inward and try to revise how am I doing things? Is this working? The old Dr. Phil. How's this working for you?
How's it working for you?
You know, and I appreciated that he kind of touched on some stuff that we talked about last week in terms of, like, how do you reach people when they do want to be reached, but... You can't quite get on the same page yet.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do?
But for me, like, it makes sense that he did that. If you're writing all these books and you're on a lecture series and you're going around the world and the country talking to young people, older people, I don't know who he's talking to, colleges, universities, the whole thing, it's almost like I would expect you to have that introspect. I would expect you to really do the work on yourself. And know what you're talking about and feel like you're making changes as you go through your life, you know, and they're not the same person that you were 25 years ago.
And that's where I thought was that weird disconnect with Becky, because it was the same thing. Like, I thought you would have been doing all this work. You kind of claimed to have been doing all this work, but I didn't see the same sort of outcomes that Kevin, obviously, he was trying. Man, let's get into this discussion, because was this frustrating for you to watch this conversation happen? And I don't even know to call it a conversation. I don't know, a rehashing, if you will.
Well, they played the clip of what happened in the show is they played the clip of their original discussion. And what triggered Kevin was that he'd actually said that he'd never even viewed it. He never did you hear that part?
Yeah, I did.
He purposely didn't watch the show because of how it felt, how it affected him afterwards. I guess what bothered me was the fact that Becky just wanted to say what she wanted to say and not hear what he was trying to explain to her. And she was trying to say, I'm not racist. I'm not part of the system. I'm not a white supremacist. I'm not this. I'm not that. And she's just coming at, like, at him and trying to justify everything and not just listen to, like, well, what are you trying to say? listening, hearing what Kevin's trying to get across. So often, you know, especially for Black men in this society, you just, as a woman, I don't even know how it feels. I don't. As a Black woman, I don't know how it feels to be a Black man, because it is a constant struggle. And especially when he said the part of, like, a Black man raising his voice or even having an argument with a white woman on TV, that was a huge thing. And he was right. I mean, you have mothers that would say, don't do that. Don't ever do that. That is something you don't go there for. I think that Becky is just so hell-bent on being like, I'm not racist. I want you to know. And I think a lot of white women say that. They just want you to know they are not racist, but they don't want to hear anything else. They don't want to actually hear why, what's going on, and what they can do to not, like, you know, what's the reason why you're just, like, defending yourself? It's not about just defending yourself. It's about listening to and reminding yourself of, like, how can you make some changes? How can you use your voice to make a difference and really make things better, and not just constantly saying, well, it's not me, it's other people, you know?
Right.
So I don't know if that, does that make sense to you?
It does. And actually, I feel like I'm queen of this lately, I'm having my own little epiphany while we're talking. Specifically, there is a narrative between Black men and white women. There is a narrative that's already set up. I'm a white woman. If I continuously try to say I'm not a part of that narrative, I'm not in that narrative, that's not true.
Correct.
I am. There already is a narrative set up where somehow, you know, Black men do something to me, right? They somehow harm me in some way. That's the narrative that's set up, right? And unless I own that part and say, okay, you know what? I am a part of that narrative. Let's change the story.
Right.
How do we change the story? How do I not become the person that the town folks all run to and believe my side of the story,
right,
and don't believe you? But if I continuously say I'm not even in that story, the story ending can never change.
Right. Right. Because you're just not even accepting it.
It's it's like I'm saying I'm not in the play, but I'm a character in the play with lines and I do things. And even if I don't say anything, if I don't, or how should I say, even if I don't accuse anyone of anything, unless I stand up to the fellow townspeople who are willing to accuse
me on my behalf,
right?
Exactly.
Then I'm not really changing.
It's like, but I didn't accuse anybody, but you're also allowing it to continue perpetuating the myth of what's going on.
I like that. I feel like we came to a very good, solid interaction, because I understand what Becky's saying in terms of her wanting it to be read into the record, is how I felt like she was doing this.
Right.
She wanted it to be on TV, on camera, that she had a certain agenda. I'm not a racist. I didn't say it this way. This is why I said it that way.
Right.
And she just wanted to make sure it got in there. What I was super disappointed about was because she was so adamant about that we never actually heard Kevin's
point.
None of it.
No. We didn't hear anything.
I actually don't know what he was going to say.
He's so eloquent in a way that he was like, he'd stop and he'd allow her to speak and he'd start to speak and then she'd interrupt and then he'd stop, because he knew it was like, it was pointless to keep trying to make his point because she kept interrupting and was not hearing him. And that's that. Right now I'm having an epiphany. That is the maturity that he did not have in 1992.
Yes.
Here's the mature Kevin having the same type of conversation and saying, I'm going to give you a second. And then I'm going to speak. I'm going to comment on what you're saying. And you're going to hear it. Hopefully you thought.
Right.
But that didn't happen.
It never happened. Now, here's the thing. We have the benefit of screeners, and we were able to see that they do have, like, scenes for next week, and it very much looked like we were going to revisit this.
I think it's not done.
And it definitely looked like, if we're going back to the narrative, it definitely looked like this was like a he said, she said between a white woman and a Black man. Old narrative, right?
Yeah.
And the rest of the cast, I'm casting as the townspeople, right? And in this part of the conversation, they say nothing. They look uncomfortable. It's clearly like they want Becky to be quiet, but they aren't saying anything. Scenes from next week, in my opinion, looked like, and I was just cut like this, because we always have to be wary of the old editor.
Right.
It looked like Norman was saying, shut up.
It looked like the townspeople turned on the white woman.
It looked like the townspeople said, shut up and listen. There's a different story to be told here, and you're not listening.
You're not listening.
You're so worried about what you look like in the story, you're not even letting it play out.
Here's my thing. We know this woman. I see where she's trying to get. You know, I see that she's saying, look, I don't have a hateful, you know, I'm waiting for this line. I don't have a hateful bone in my body. You hear this all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't have a racist bone in my body. I'm not capable of doing all this stuff. But the point is that racism is not just about being hurtful and saying things specifically to demean someone. It can mean a variety of things. It can mean you sitting by idly, not doing shit, and allowing things to happen to people that have been oppressed in this country forever. That is racism. You sitting quietly allowing things is racism too. It doesn't mean it's one thing. And a lot of people think racism is specifically being like, I didn't use the N-word. I didn't specifically tell somebody of color that I think that they're less than me. And that is where she's at. She's got this idea of what it is in her brain, and she's not listening to what it could be, the umbrella of the term. I think if she just sat and listened to Kevin and really took it in, she would learn some things, because I think he would explain it to her in a way that's not so volatile, like in the first go around.
Yeah.
And he did, you know, the thing is, he did get heated. He called her a B. He said, I apologize for that part, because that was when he came out of his character and called her that. But that was the immaturity. That was the immature Kevin back then.
Right.
Now it would be a totally different thing. So I don't think, you know, and I guess the whole scene's from next week, it seems like she just gets up and walks away.
Oh.
I think she's the one that's probably like, I'm gonna leave, because I'm never gonna get a fair edit or whatever she's gonna say.
Oh man,
that's what I'm predicting.
Oof, I hope that doesn't happen. And if it does happen, I hope that she comes to her senses and comes back, and somehow they get to a better place, because, you know, everything you're saying is really resonating, and I feel like this time it is so important. If people of our age. Mm-hmm. Who are really the viewing audience for this? Even probably, I don't know, what would you say, 5-10 years older than us, would have still been probably watching MTV, would have been 18, 20, something like that.
Definitely.
Still watching. And so if our generation, if our slice of the pie can hear this from voices that are familiar, and that we knew this argument from pop culture, right? Maybe it can make some actual inroads, you know? And if we watch it play out where... If somehow through peer pressure it might end up being like physical force where they have to keep Becky to be quiet. Mm-hmm. You know, if that illustrates some sort of like holding back the wave, if you will, as the townspeople, and allowing whomever the other person is in this narrative, we're saying a white woman and a black man, allows the black man to say what he needs to say and allow all the information to come out, because he was stifled, man.
Yeah.
We didn't get to hear anything of what he wanted to say. If the townspeople here can hold back Becky and say, just be quiet and let him say what he needs to say.
Hopefully happens, but I think that's what triggers her.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Because she's going to feel like her side's not being
She's going to feel ganged up on, and that she's being made to feel less than, and that, you know, marginalized, possibly. Right. How does that feel? What is that like? Oh, right. You know, right. should give her a light bulb moment, but I don't know.
It would be nice if it would. And I mean, again, I was surprised at the lack of growth on Becky's side. I thought for sheer, like, understanding of reality TV, she would step back and be quiet because of the optics. Of like, if you consistently,
she's not that person.
I am so surprised.
She ain't that person.
She isn't. She's
hard headed.
Yeah.
Hard headed.
This is going to be like a complicated one, I swear, moving forward. And we're only on episode 2.
I know.
So I don't know if they're going to try to, this might be a therapy session from 3 to 6, because I don't know how.
But okay, here's what
wrap
I
wrap it up.
Well, here's what I feel might happen. She respects everybody in that house. They all respect each other, right?
Yes.
And I think they all bring something different. And I think those little tiny conversations she might have with Heather, she may have with Norman, she may have with Julie, she may have with Andre, can start to affect her in some way.
Okay.
You know, and make her realize where she's at. You know, maybe they can all figure it out together and exchange some ideas on figuring out, like, I feel like, you know, when you're just got your brain wrapped up in something, you've got a bunch of friends and then you've got that friend that just comes in and says, hey, have you looked at it this way? Mm-hmm. And then you're like, wow, you're right. I never looked at it that way, you know? And then another friend, hey, you know what? You probably should have listened to him because of this. Different people, especially when you're living in the same house. I mean, I think that might help her.
I sure hope so. I mean, I would like to see some growth, and I would like to hope that, you know, the conversation can be a roadmap for some people to be able to see, like, okay, this is how it could play out. Like, it's okay if you're not there yet, which Becky is fully representing. I'm not there yet.
Clearly.
It's okay if you're not there yet.
I'm not there yet was a person.
Was personified.
Right, yeah.
We understand and we're, like, we could put a pause and say, okay, fine. We won't shame you for that fact, but you have to listen at this point.
Just listen.
You have
to. Just listen.
Yeah.
Honestly, even if you're not fucking there, listen.
Yeah. And maybe, again, like I said, like, she doesn't have to feel like she needs to keep yelling, like, I'm not racist.
I'm not racist.
I'm not part of the problem. I'm not in the system. First of all, we're all in the system.
Everybody.
That is the silliest comment I have ever heard.
And if you say I'm not racist, you're 100% racist. You have to say, I'm not racist. Come on. I will tell you, it is like, it is a huge trigger for me. Because if somebody says that, I'm like, it makes me look at you 100 times harder.
Right.
Side-eyed.
Right.
Sorry. I had to say that.
No, you absolutely know. And you have every right to say it. I think that this is a conversation that was the biggest conversation that came out of the house that, you know, those months they lived together. And I'm glad that they're revisiting it. I'm really hoping that it has a more productive ending than it ever did before.
And I have hope.
I have hope, too. I really do. I really, really do. Because I feel like, I don't know, even... having all these other people who she trusts and who lived through it the first time with her and now the second time with her, maybe that will have like some, will hold some weight with her that's different, you know, than even people in her regular life.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I hope so.
That's what I mean about the people she really, truly respects in the house.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Fingers I think they're going to get fed up with her if she does not, man.
She may have to leave.
She may get thrown out. She may not leave, man. She may go out David style, no? That's David. Second season for you guys. God, David was asked to leave.
She's just jumping right to it.
Oh my gosh, so crazy.
I would like to sip the cooch before we leave. We needed a drink.
Oh yes, please.
Swirl. Cheers.
Cheers to you.
Sip the cooch.
That was so funny. When Heather goes, Eric, you drink some when you come here? He's like, nah.
No. He hasn't drank in years, whatever.
17 years?
Could you imagine?
Heather. Oh my gosh. You guys, this is our coverage for episode 2 of Real World Homecoming New York City, which means hopefully other cities are coming. If I don't get some puck in my life, I don't know, man.
Blast for the past.
I want to see what Puck looks like as a grandpa old man with some kids
fucked
and
up.
Whatnot.
Say that. He probably looks like Andre. Like, he's probably like a pastor now.
I hope he comes in all sophisticated and like, you know, St. John's Bay.
Turtleneck and yes. Tatted up to the neck.
Oh my God, I want to see this so bad. Well, this is Caroline.
And this is Aisha.
Thank you for listening. And don't forget to please rate, review, and subscribe to Pod Clubhouse on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. 5 stars, people. 5 stars. Let's hope Becky is listening.
Thank you for listening. This has been an original Pod Clubhouse production. Pod Clubhouse is a podcast network dedicated to encouraging collaboration among podcasters and friends to bring a fresh voice and diverse perspective on a wide array of content. Please visit and leave a comment for us at podclubhouse.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast feeds on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find us at Pod Clubhouse. Our DMs are always open, and we'd love to hear from you.